Our Bibles are open to Mark chapter 1. I cannot explain to you and express, but I'm going to show you, God willing, when the Lord brings the heat on here, how thrilled I am to start this new Bible study series. Brother Ed, Sister Ed, read it, good to see you all. Glad you all are doing better. We missed you, notice when you're not here. We've been praying for you, so glad you all are doing well. Mark chapter 1, if you're there, give me a good Baptist amen. All right, now let me ask you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to talk about a preacher named John the Baptist. Brother Chuck, good to see you, brother. Glad you're feeling better. I'm finding all kinds of people out here today. And I hope and pray you've got your Bibles. I want you to be a part of our Sunday morning sermon series set through the gospel record according to St. Mark. I hope and pray that if anything else, you're going to get a blessing out of this as we go through our study. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached. I like that word right there. And preached. Some people look at me and say, "Boy, you get too caught up." Well, that's what John the Baptist did. He preached, praise God. Saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Amen. And it came to pass in those days, and I like this word too, Jesus, that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he was sprinkled, he was baptized. He saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." So you see Jesus, the Son of God, in the water. You see the Holy Ghost in the form of this dove descend upon Jesus. And you see God the Father speaking from heaven. How do you not know there's belief in the Trinity when you see it right there? And immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted Satan. And was with the wild beasts. And the angels came ministering unto him. And after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into all of Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." That'll be all. Father, thank you for the word of God. We ask that you help the preacher, help my throat, Lord, help my mind. Just let it be preached the way you have it to preach, Lord. And let us respond and receive it the way you want us to receive it and respond. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. Be seated. Now, let me just give you a quick rundown, a little bit, some interesting things here about the gospel reference. And this, unfortunately, is going to take some of my time. I'm tempted just to throw this away and get out into the preaching, but I think it's good as we start our sermon series that we kind of take a quick different distinction out of the four gospel records. What are the four gospel records? Matthew? Help me out. Matthew? Mark? These are four gospel records. But I want you to know there's only one gospel. Matthew presents the gospel. Mark presents the gospel. Luke presents the gospel. John presents the gospel. The rest of the book of Acts shows you how the gospel was spread abroad throughout all the earth during the time. And how the churches started. How the gospel was spread abroad. The effect that it had in men's lives. And then you go and you start reading about, after that you have the general church epistles. In the Hebrew church epistle, that shows you what the gospel is, and it breaks it down in doctrine and in proof. And so, that all the New Testament opens up with four gospel records which explains the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew, he opens up the gospel that he presents with a chronology, a rich chronology of the distant lineage of Jesus Christ, going all the way back to Abraham, giving us proof that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the only one worthy to sit upon the throne of his father David. That's a unique feature of Matthew. Luke opens up his gospel record also with a rich chronology of the local lineage of Jesus Christ, giving us a very personal touch as to the situation and circumstance of the birth of Christ. Here you find the story of the shepherds. You find a local emphasis in his presentation of the birth of Christ. Of the nativity scene, it's a very touching, it's a very personal opening letter of the gospel. Luke proved that Jesus is the only one worthy to sit upon the throne of the human heart. John extends past all human lineage when you open up the Gospel of John and his record by saying Jesus is the eternal Creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says, and he breaks all that down, and he says that some were saved, but some were not saved when Jesus came to this world as the Son of God. He shows us the fact that you have a choice to let the God-man take up the throne in your heart. The world has a choice to believe or disbelieve, to accept or reject Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And John makes that very clear in his presentation of the gospel. Mark, the book that you and I are going to be taking a journey in, and I tell you, I'm fired up about it, very excited about it. He skips all of these things. John skips all along, Mark skips all along introductions, any historical information, so he can get right to the point, as it were. He jumps head first into the sea of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not taking no time to break down any lengthy introduction at all. He starts off not with creation, not with the nativity scene, not with the long lineage, but he gets us right away at the banks of the Jordan River. He gets straight to the point. He has written this to show you anyone can have Christ in his heart. Anyone may receive Christ. If Matthew is written to the Jewish people, if Luke is written to the Gentiles, John extends it to the entirety of the human world, then Mark appeals to the Romans. Remember that, as you see in our slide, that there's a Roman soldier there, the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the Gospel of Action. Remember that. The Gospel of Action. He does not place a big emphasis on the things that Jesus said in the same way that Matthew, Luke, and John do, but he emphasizes the things that Jesus did. If you were to take away the teachings out of the Gospel of Matthew, all the teachings that Jesus said, the things he said, the words that Jesus said, if you were to take that away, Matthew chapter 23, which is a lengthy chapter of Jesus teaching and preaching against the Pharisees, and if you take away the parables in Matthew 13, if you take all the teachings and the words of Christ, it would be smaller than the Gospel of Mark. Mark is full, not of the words of Jesus, but of the actions of Jesus, the things he did. One last note about Mark's presentation. In the prophetic book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel saw in a vision a creature that had the face of a man, the face of an eagle, the face of a ox, a beast, and the face of a man. A man, the eagle, the ox. What was the other one? I mentioned that.
Lion.
A lion. Thank you, brother. And that can correlate with the gospel records. Matthew portrays Jesus as the king. Mark portrays Jesus as the servant. When you turn to the gospel of Mark, I want you to remember the servant. And I hope if anything else, when we're done and going through our study of the gospel of Mark, you and I will be more of a servant like Jesus Christ. Matthew presents him as the king. Mark presents him as the servant. Luke shows us Jesus Christ as the ideal man, the Son of Man, the ideal man. While John shows us Jesus Christ
as the Son of God. If Jesus is alive in Matthew, thank you, Brother Mike, there it was, then he is the ox, which is an animal, the beast of service in Mark. If he is the Son of Man in Luke, then he is the eagle in John. So each gospel record emphasizes something special in Jesus Christ in the gospel. Mark is distinctively the gospel record which would appeal to the Romans, which would explain what Jesus did, which would highlight actions of Jesus and the effect of these actions. So much for the introductions. I hope that gives you a little bit of a distinction about this precious gospel record. Let's get into the preaching. I'm going to give you three main points. Number one, we're going to look at John the Baptist here at the Jordan banks. We're going to look at him, the messenger, as a person. Who was he? Secondly, the message that he preached. What did he preach? Thirdly, the men he pleased, or how did people react to his preaching? When you and I look at the gospel record here of Mark, he, again, gets right to the point. He gets you right into the story. He doesn't take any time to just tell you what was going on and what was happening in Judea. He says that this is the beginning of the gospel of Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Who was this messenger? Who was this voice that was crying in the wilderness? Who was this preacher? Who was this baptizer? Verse 4 tells us John was his name. Who was this messenger? Who was this person? Who was he? Well, he was a descendant of Elizabeth, and she was married to Zechariah. And they were cousins to Mary, the mother of Jesus. So John the Baptist and Jesus were in fact cousins, praise God. And they didn't live too far apart. You see in the Gospels that they at one time, many times, come and visit one another as cousins like to do. And fellowship and eat and have a good time and talk about the good things of the Lord. They were a religious family. Brother Zacharias was the father here of John the Baptist. Zacharias was a priest. And he waited for the salvation of the Lord. And he saw hard after the things of God. And he prophesied. He was an upright man. So you have an idea of who he was. We certainly know Elizabeth was a God worshiper, amen, during the time when maybe it wasn't so popular to fear and worship God. She continued to live for the Lord. She continued to serve God. And she was good to her family. And so that was the number. They weren't, I don't think, rich. I don't think they were anything special. They're just common folk, living for the Lord, trying to do what God would have them to do, much like you and I today. John was born into that family. Moms and dads, while I'm here, you don't know what your child may turn out to be. You just be faithful and let God lead in that child's life. And they're going to do what you did. If you're not faithful, why will they ever be faithful? I feel like preaching all of a sudden and going down a big rabbit trail. If you pray and live for the Lord, train up a child the way they should go, amen, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. At least they'll know where the standard is, amen. They may get away from that standard like I did, but I knew the whole time that there was a standard, that I needed to fear God, that I needed to go to church, that I needed to bring my tithes and offerings from the Lord. Somebody say amen. That you can, God help me. Amen. Who is this messenger? Who was he as a person? Well, you see his parents. Now, I'll tell you something else. John was somebody that was, he was an abstainer. He would drink not any wine or strong drink. The Bible says that he would drink no wine or strong drink. He was a sober-minded man. And you and I ought to be sober-minded in the way of this life. Praise God. He was a prophet. See him in verse 6, clothed with camel's hair. People looked at him and thought he was a weirdo. He didn't have on a nice suit and tie and have the things that we have today. He could have, No, he was a wild preacher. I've been watching that. Me and Angie, and I tell you what, we got hooked on that swamp people. So raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. And I said, probably you're laughing, so you know. There's a fellow on there that has overalls. You wonder if he's got anything underneath them things, because he's just, his name's Bruce. And I didn't laugh. And we saw him come on there like, what in the world? What is this weirdo? He's got all this like an afro, bristle out hair with an American bandana thing over on the top of his head, overalls and everything showing, you know, and don't have any undergarments there. It's just all skin. He got a, look like a big old beer belly hanging out over here. And he's got his overall jeans here look like it's cut off and frizzled out. He drives his boat by himself and goes around and hunts some alligators. And he puts a 12 gauge in the back of their head. He turns it in and gets some money for it. Honest man's work. You got to keep the alligator population under control. And so I'm all for it. Praise God. Then he starts shooting the head. Obey the law. Get your money. Go feed your family. But I like Bruce. He's just an old down-to-earth country boy, you know. But if you and I were to go work with him for a day, I don't think we'd go back maybe the second day. Smelling that swamp. Amen. Probably thrown up on the side of the boat to see traveling like a wild crazy Indian. I don't know if he's sober minded or not, but there are all Christians out there, John and Joe and their family, and any of them had that, their teeth still in the head. You know, they're just funny looking. I think when you and I were to go out and see Brother John the Baptist, I think he was funny looking. Much like some people look at me. He's just funny. The other day, Isaac and I went to the dealership, and I thought they were laughing at me. Here's my 2001 Cadillac that I bought from Brother Harlan for $2,200. I said, boy, you little punk, you're laughing at my car. I ain't going to buy a car from you all over here. That's how I feel about it. And I don't know, but I don't like people laughing at me. Over John. John the Baptist, I tell you, he was a spectacle to see. He had camel's hair for his clothing. Bible says he lived out in the wilderness. He didn't live out in the city. He lived out in the wilderness, in the wild, if you would. I believe John was a hairy man, like Brother Esau was. He may have smelled funny. He probably sounded funny. He probably preached a little odd. Preached a little different than them smooth scribes and Pharisees. He didn't get up and pull his glasses down past his nose and give you quotations from Dr. Fuzzy Knuckles and Dr. Sue and Sue. He told you straight up what it is, amen. He said you need to prepare your heart because God is coming. Jesus is coming. You need to make things right in your heart with God. Amen. That's how it's preached. And that's how they heard it. Yeah, well, you know what did he eat? Now, this, I have to pray over this, brother. What did he eat? Talk about what he ate. Locusts and wild honey. Oh, cicada bugs that come out there. John, man, he grabbed hold of one of those things and chopped his head off and put that on there and eat that serpent. I don't think he had any allergy problems. He ate all the local honey, you know, go in there, stick his arm in there, pull out a beehive, whatever the case was, squeeze it out of some nectar of honey out of something. John probably may be a good farmer. He knows his way around. Eat them bugs and eat them things. And drink that honey. He probably knew some good tricks of the trade. You know, praise God, I want to go Lee's Chicken, Chick-fil-A, hey, make the Krispy Kreme. There it is, Brother Joe. I got to work food in there. Don't say something about Brother John. John was not a part of this, the business of this world. John was a unique individual. Jesus said there was not a greater than John the Baptist. In fact, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. So there he is as a man, as a person, as a messenger. He came to tell people to get ready. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, he has been born. He is here. He's coming at any moment. Just like I've been preaching here lately, as a matter of fact. Jesus Christ will split that eastern sky at any moment. You need to make sure you're ready. The other day, Brother Lee and I went into the hospital to pray with one of our entertainers. church members. And I've been over there 3 or 4 minutes already. But praise God, we were in the elevator coming out. I was dressed pretty much like I was here. Brother Lee was dressed pretty much like I was there. Kind of looked like a preacher. Amen. Didn't look like some guy that. I'm about to get irritated right now. I pray God, if you're a preacher, you ought to look like a preacher. You ought to talk like a preacher. You ought to grow a headlight. Do everything you can like a preacher. That are old Lincoln Town car be time. You ought to look like a man of God. Quit looking like somebody that just got back from the Florida Beach with a button-up Bermuda shirt. Hey, man! Wearing flip-flops and sandals in the church house. You ought to look and smell and act and talk and pray and preach like a preacher. We went to the elevator, and there was a lady that was in that elevator by herself, Brother Lee. And I could tell she was on her heavy load. I could see it. She'd been crying. This was a wreck, a mess. And I wasn't sure how this was going to. I needed to say something, but I just didn't know what to say. Brother Lee, fortunately, was filled with the Spirit, I believe, and he said something to her. Are you afraid of elevators? Is what he started a conversation with this dear lady. And that he thought maybe she was just afraid of the elevator. And she said, no, the elevator opened up, and she turned, and she began to weep. And she said, my mother is about to die. It's a 50-50 chance. And I said, honey, I'm going to pray for you right here in the middle of this hallway. People walking by. And we laid hands upon her and prayed for her in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank John the Baptist when you listen to him. You had no mistake in your mind. That was a letter long, high, and brimstone Bible thumping, baptized in preacher of the gospel.
And that's who he was as a man. That's just what he was. Folks, that's what I'm striving to be like. There's a lot of smooth talkers. I just want to be like Jesus and be like John. And I hope and pray that you have a discerning ear, the things that you hear on the radio, on the TV. Don't be afraid of Bible preaching. That's what's going to save you. Second thing, from the messenger to the message. He cried out in the wilderness. He wasn't whispering. He wasn't holding sessions. He was a preaching of a storm, if you would. You go out there and leave Hodgenville. You're going out from New Haven. You come out from Elizabethtown. I don't know where you're finding out somewhere, maybe in one of these lakes or rivers out here in Maroon County, some secluded area, some private area, and as you make your way, you see throngs, thousands and thousands of people and children and boys and girls of all ages gathered around the riverbank. And standing out there halfway deep in that water was a hairy, camel hair wearing, locust eating, honey drinking, fundamental Baptist preacher, praise God, standing in the water, and they were gathered around. And as you and I get to that scene, we feel the terror of God's presence on us. We know that we're standing in the midst of a great and mighty awakening, a revival in our county. And as that brother begins to preach, he begins to tell you that you are not right with God. He begins to tell you that you are a sinner. He tells you that you need to repent of your sins. He tells you that God can come open at any moment and you are not ready. You need to get ready. You need to get into the water. You need to be baptized in the name of God. He wasn't whispering. He was preaching. I like my preaching wild and crazy. I want my preacher spitting in a holler. I want one of his eyeballs falling off to the side of his head. Amen, praise God. I want a Kentucky Fried Chicken preacher, not some bullshit fish eating preacher. Amen. I'm for grits and I'm for gravy and I'm for guns. Amen. I want my preacher like John the Baptist. I want him to lift up his voice. I want him to cry. You must be born again.
Amen.
Thank God. Somebody said, why are you always fired up? Well, I just put a little gunpowder on my cereal every morning. Turn over to Luke chapter 3, would you, church? Luke chapter 3. John's just fun to study. He's just interesting, ain't he? John chapter 3, verse 7, it says,
And it's important to talk about John the Baptist. Then said he, verse 7 of Luke chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized with him. This is what he said. He talked about present yourself. When they come to be baptized with him, he said, "Oh, generation of vipers." Well, that hurts my feelings, preacher. You're a snake. You're sneaky and you're subtle. You serve God with your lips, but your heart is far from Him. Get quiet in here. That's how I preach. Oh, generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. In other words, prove it. If it's real in your heart and you're really a follower of God, show the fruit of it. Then he says in here, you don't start, so you begin to say to yourself, "Well, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." There's good to go and say, "Well, who are you to pick on us? We're descendants of Abraham." John said, "Well, God could call any of these stones right here and turn them into a descendant of Abraham." And a lot of church people say, "Well, who are you to preach against my sins? My granny is buried in the backyard of this church." I've heard it. Who are you to get on there and preach against my sins? I'm a faithful tithe member of this church. If you do that again, we'll shut you down, preacher. We'll close the doors of your ministry. I've heard that. If you preach against my wicked sins and you begin to call my name, not my number, and then come touch me like this again, I'm going to take offense to it and I'm going to make sure that you don't get hurt again in this church. I've heard stuff like that. And I've also heard people say, like they do in this church, "Preacher, you preach for God's name."
Amen.
We are open. Whatever the Lord would have us, you just preach that book and we'll be with you. That is a blessing. And I thank God for this church. Praise God. Hallelujah. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees, he said. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He said, "You better watch out. If you don't start proving it, God's going to cut your tree down. He's going to cut your life out. And if he's throwing into the fire," you don't hear preaching talking about fire no more, do you? But John did. And the people asked him, "What shall we do then?" Oh, I think people begin to cry. How about there was a conviction and a great awakening and a revival? And they said, "What do we need to do to get right with God? What is the steps that we need to take?" So look at what he said. He answered them and said unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none." Start sharing and quit being selfish. "And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." The church ought to be the most generous community this church is. And I thank God for that. Sister Teresa, Brother Henry, God bless you for preparing that meal for that family during their time of bereavement. God bless you for that. I thank God for the church. We do things and feed people and help people. This country ain't going to be worth 2 cents when the church is drafted out of here. We'll say that right now.
Yes.
But he preached against selfishness. Verse 12. Then came also the publicans to be baptized. Now here's your religious, "Oh, we got it all together crowd, the publicans." Or the Pharisees, right? And he said, Master, what shall we do? And he said to them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed unto you." Stop robbing people and taking away from people. He dealt with people who were tax collectors. I'd like to have him come for a year one time and preach in all the states of all the counties of Kentucky. We are not opposed to paying taxes. I pay taxes. But there ought to be a regulation on the fairness.
Right.
John was dealing with these people that were adding a little more percentage onto that because it was what they were doing, put it in their pocket.
Right. Yeah.
And John, he was welcome them to be saved and baptized or baptized. He was welcome in that. But he still pointed at his finger. And he didn't miss words.
Right.
He dealt with the root sin in their life.
Yeah.
And then you had another group of people that came in, and soldiers likewise. He demanded of them, saying, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Do violence to no man. Stop abusing your power. Stop being mean and ugly and hateful and violent to people. Neither accuse any falsely. Stop lying and getting people in trouble just because you have the power to do. Stop abusing your power.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And be content with your wages. And as the people were, see, he dealt with root issues. True preaching deals with the root issue, and it's sin. It's always sin. Because sin abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Why do we have cold heartedness? Sin. Why do we have fathers turning against their children? Sin. Why do we have children turning against the God and family? Sin. Sin will always be the number one enemy in your life. And thank God for preachers like John the Baptist who point their bony fingers at our hearts and say, you're selfish. You're not content. You're a thief. You're a liar. You're a robber.
Yes.
I like hearing sermons on grace and love, but I've also appreciated so much when God steps on my toes and tells me where I need to be so I can be more like Christ. What was the message that John preached? He said, prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. You can't live a crooked, zigzagging life. Straighten up. What are you saying? Amen.
Amen.
We need preaching like that now.
Amen.
Look at that said. Now, he was paid, but you know what? People came out to see it, Brother Mark. They came out to see this wild man. And guess who else came out to see him? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What an honor. What a blessing. John, I just know when he saw Jesus strolling down that bank, he had his disciples with him. Andrew, Philip, many other disciples and followers. I guess you could say his congregation. And John, one day, saw Jesus walking. And I'm sure there had been some kind of glow that John saw. And he pointed and he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
Right.
Woo! Thank God! Amen! That's exciting.
Amen.
Now, thirdly, the men he pleased. How did people react to his preaching? Well, I think his preaching did a good thing because it accomplished what God wanted it to accomplish. People began to fear and love God the way they were supposed to. They began to, revival began to break loose. Amen. You might say souls were getting saved and people were being added. And there were many people that were baptized. I say was baptized by the family. Even baptisms by the tribe. Amen. Praise God. The soldiers came in. And the military showed up. And all the houses were gathered around. And one by one, he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would. And he'd get them plunged all the way under. It was a time of revival. And a time of great awakening. I think he was quite popular. I do. He was odd. He was a little weird. But John the Baptist was quite popular because he said they came out from all the areas to be baptized in him in the River Jordan. Now, there were some people, though, that didn't like it. And we're going to read a little bit later on of a lady who didn't like it. Herod, we will look at it later on, but Herod Antipas was the Herod of that time. There were a lot of Herods during this time, and he was the Herod that was the leader during this particular time. And John preached against the King Herod. And guess who came and liked him? Herod. The Bible says he heard him gladly. He, in other words, pointed his finger at Herod. Herod took his brother's wife. Adultery. And John the Baptist, he caught wind of that. And he preached against Herod
right.
In front of the whole country. And the Bible says, Herod enjoyed it. He enjoyed somebody preaching against the issues of life. He enjoyed somebody preaching the things of the heart. It was a great awakening to Herod. Herod heard him gladly, and he feared the things that he said, but he had daughter. And he had a special name. one day he got to where he had to imprison John. He had to put him in prison. And the Bible says that on his birthday, he had all of his tributaries and leaders and council people and fellow politicians gather around in his royal court. And this lady gets up there, Herodias, I think it was, and she did her little ditty and had a party and danced before everybody. And oh, she's so beautiful and so cute. Oh, she's going to turn out to be a wonderful princess. Oh, let her dance and let her sway and let her swing. And they enjoy the show. And Herod's heart was stolen by it. And he said, what? In front of everybody, whatever you want, sweetheart, I'll give it to you. What is your birthday wish? And she told her mom in a whisper, the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And she told Herod, and Herod's heart dropped. But guess what happened? They cut off John the Baptist's head, put it on a platter, and gave it. But the one thing they'll know about John the Baptist is it didn't matter who was in his group, he dealt with the root issue of any sin in that person's life. And guess who approved of this preacher? Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us down in verse 14, Jesus came into Galilee. In verse 9, that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John. Oh, man, that just tickles my heart. What a blessing, John, to baptize the Savior of the world. You know what we need to make sure that we're pleasing? We need to make sure we're pleasing to Jesus. It's nice when all the crowds come together. It's a blessing. When your Sunday school class is filled, or when your friends will listen to you, the person you're talking to on the phone will listen to you, and you can share the gospel. Brother Stephen and I went and prayed with Sister Carol. We can now call her Sister Carol. I got saved Thursday. And she got saved a good old-fashioned way. I mean, there were tears. She prayed. We prayed. There was prayer there. There was confession there. The gospel was preached unto her. And she got saved a good old-fashioned way in her old years. Thank God he can save anybody. Amen. Praise God. The gospel still saves old sinners. And so, but it's a blessing to be received. I didn't say this, but there are some people that don't want you. And there have been times, and there was a recent time I went to visit with somebody, and they said, get out. As soon as they saw me, get out. I said, I'm Pastor so-and-so, I'm related to so-and-so, come to pray with you, come to visit you, get out. I can still pray for them, and I still love them, but that's not the first time it happened, said before. But I don't do that because she accepts me and because he rejects me. I do it for him. And you do it for him. Amen. Remember that. He's coming on the banks. Amen. We've been preaching on Sunday nights how Jesus has a message for the church. And tonight we're going to talk about another church. He is in the church. He's walking the aisles. That feeling of conviction you feel is his presence in your heart. Amen. The thoughts that you think and the mind and the spiritual mindset that you have that you don't have on Monday and Tuesday, but you have it when you come here. It's not something that I do. It's not anything you need. Praise God. It's God working in you, the church.
Amen. And we want to please him in all that we say and do. Jesus was baptized with John. Jesus said there was not a greater. He said John was the greatest man in this whole earth.
Yes.
That's huge. That's significant.
Yes, amen.
Be careful how you measure a church. Be careful how you measure a preacher. It's not based on how the world likes him. It's how Jesus loves him.
Yeah.
Let me conclude with this. Sister Andrew, if you wouldn't mind to come, I'm going to give you four questions to think about at the conclusion of the message. But I can tell you this, I do look forward to meeting John the Baptist.
Yeah.
I would like to say in public, in the view of the general public, that I like John the Baptist. I support John the Baptist. I like him. He's my man. That's how I feel about him. I think if John the Baptist were alive today, that he would be in high demand for revivals, campings, and preaching. I fancy myself sitting on the banks of the Jordan River with John and James and the other followers of John the Baptist. I'd like to think that I would be there helping John the Baptist. I'd like to think that when a person would come to present themselves to be baptized, I could talk with them, pray with them, and then give them over into the baptizer's hand. I like to think that if people come around, that me and the other brothers, I'd be a part of that group. Amen, brother Stuart. Just being available for John the Baptist, would you go pray with him, Brother Halford? Yes, sir. I like to think of myself being involved. I wouldn't be like the Pharisees, I hope, that were critical of him. But I like to think I'd be right there, right with my toes in the mud. Amen. Lord, how can I help this great man preach the gospel, as it were, of repentance? It would break my heart to hear that John would be put in prison. I would cry, and I'd ask my wife, I'd go to bed, and I'd say, honey, we need to pray for Brother John. It would bother me to hear that my brother was in jail just for preaching the Word of God and being faithful, being true. He wasn't robbing anybody. He wasn't being violent. He wasn't abusing drugs and alcohol. He was telling people to live for God. He was the greatest friend of the police. He was the greatest friend of the Romans. He was the greatest friend of the economy. It would have broken my heart to hear that he was in prison. And then time to get a publication in the mail from the local Roman Post weeks later, having been praying for him and maybe visiting with him and asking if there's anything I could do for him. Then get something in the mail that says, at such and such time, the Reverend John the Baptist, his head was cut off. He is no longer with us on such and such a time. Arrangements will be made for such and such a time. The end. My heart would sink. What now? That's how powerful and meaningful life for God can be. Ask you these questions to think. Number one, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to be studying that through this entirety of our sermon series, the Gospel of Mark. You must be saved, are you? Second question, you must follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Have you? I have a friend, I've lately saved, and I love him dearly. He may be watching our Facebook Live. He's never been baptized. God would have him to be baptized. If you're saved today, you must be baptized. Three, you must love God with all your heart, above all yourself, and above all your sin. Do you? Do you? Fourth question I ask, you must come to terms with what real preaching is. So do I. Will you? Will you? I hope and pray that as we continue to grow as a church, and I say grow, amen, I like that word, that basically what we're doing is we're like the church on the Jordan banks. Now, I don't like my preacher like John the Baptist, so that's how I am. That's who I'm trying to be like. Will you come and be a part of us? Will you not be ashamed? Jesus wasn't baptized by John the Catholic. Jesus wasn't baptized by John the Methodist. Jesus wasn't baptized by John the Presbyterian. I know I'm going to kill the service on that. Jesus wasn't baptized by John the Scientist. Jesus wasn't baptized by John the politician. Jesus was not baptized by John the Episcopalian. Jesus was not baptized by John the Mormon. Jesus was not baptized by John the Jehovah's Witness.
Amen.
Jesus was not baptized by Freemason. Jesus was baptized by a Baptist.
Amen.
He was a baptizer. John still holds the record. Amen. Of being the one who placed his rough ministry hands upon the precious body of Jesus Christ and plunged him under the water all the way and raised him up. Amen, Brother John. I'll see you in glory, brother. Thank you for leading the way, Brother John. Your life and legacy still goes on. Thank you for being willing to let the world make fun of you, ridicule you, and mock at you, as they do sound Bible preachers to this day. Brother John, God bless your soul, brother. May you rest in peace forever. May the light of the gospel that you preach continue to burn brightly in the eons of history ahead. Thank God for Bible preaching. Isn't that all the time religion, my friend, that will save your soul? Isn't that all the time preaching that will get you into the conviction of the Holy Ghost? And you need to respond to the Holy Spirit.
Let's stand, Murphy. I'm done for you.